Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is a public service announcement to check your old Google accounts because starting this week, Google is deleting accounts that have not been accessed in over 2 years. Tech Life Steph has made the switch from PC to Mac, but not all is well as she explains why she is not yet using her new hotness to record episodes of the show. Coding Micron and Dove have partnered to launch an open source guide for coding black hair in video games. And billion-dollar case maker Casetify is being sued by D-Branch for jacking his designs, Easter eggs and all, from his teardown line of cases. We got all this and more for you in episode 108 of The Tech John. From Columbus, Ohio, I'm your host, Rob Dunwood.
And coming out of Philly, it's your girl, Tech Life Steph.
And out of Atlanta, this is Terrence Gaines, a.k.a. Brother Tech, a.k.a. Fitness Journey is off pause and back on. Had to take a quick week break for Thanksgiving, but the workout routine is back to your regularly scheduled program.
Nice.
So I was actually good over Thanksgiving. I did not eat like first, second, and third dinner. I kept it to like we ate it to. I'm not a big dessert eater, so I never eat a lot of dessert. And so we ate it too. And then I just made me a small little plate, probably around 7:38, which was time to eat again anyway. But normally I go to ham. It's like I eat all day on Thanksgiving. But, yeah. So how was y'all's holidays?
Can't complain at all. Nice and calm and quiet and chill. Nothing special going on. Didn't feel overly stressed out about you know, family and food and things to do, just chilling at the crib.
Same. And there wasn't a whole lot of food to overindulge because it's just me and my mom here. So we deliberately try to keep, you know, don't go over the top cooking a whole bunch of food and everything, like very small pans of things and portions of things. So it was just enough for a nice, healthy plate on Thanksgiving and another nice healthy plate on Friday. And that was it. There is still pie left though. So I'll probably have a little bit of that later on after the show.
How long do y'all do Thanksgiving leftovers for? Like
until I get tired of them.
So
I usually probably just a day, maybe two, but I don't like leftovers in general. So I'm just not going to eat them for long. And like I said, we didn't cook a whole lot of food. So really by Saturday, there really wasn't much leftover anyway. So
I'm with you. I'm not a big leftover person. I never have been. Mm-mm. So I will go until Sunday because, and I said this on various social media platforms over the weekend, I don't want to get into, you want to go out to eat or you want to cook again and we got all this food. So I will go until Sunday, but I'm really like, I eat stuff on Thursday. I skip Friday. I eat again on Saturday, but I'm probably done. I really don't want it after that, but I'm like you, Steph. It's like, I'm just not big on leftovers, but y'all, let's go ahead and jump into this tech show. So I wanted to start us off today with a bit of a quick story here. And I believe, Steph, I know you have a Gmail account. I'm not sure if you use Gmail or not, but for those.
Sure.
Oh, so you Gmail. So, for those who do not know, if you have just a regular free Gmail account or just, I should say Google account in general, because a Google account and you have not used it in 2 years, Google is starting to delete them Johns this week. So they've actually been putting notice. I think we actually mentioned it on the show back in May or June when they made this announcement. But, yeah, this week, starting December 1st, they're going to start deleting these accounts if you have not logged into them for 2 years. Now, Google is saying that they're doing this because they want to keep you secure, that if you have accounts that you not logging into, you're not paying attention to, these are the ones that, you know, scammers and hackers, you know, get into, which is true. But the other part of me tells me the thing they ain't saying is that they will recover an enormous amount of storage by deleting all these accounts people don't log into, because people will set up accounts, start dropping pictures into them, get a new phone, get a new account, and never think about that old one or whatever the case is. I just wanted to put that public service announcement out there. But
I'm glad that they did say, though, that it wouldn't pertain to YouTube accounts, like Gmail addresses associated with YouTube account, or at least that's how I read it. It says, Google also said it does not have plans to delete accounts with YouTube videos at this time. So I'm assuming that means if you have a Gmail account tied to a YouTube channel, it won't delete that, because I have a Gmail account just for my YouTube channel. Like, I don't use that account for anything else. Mm-hmm. I don't log into it. I hope I still even know the password if I had to recover something off of it. But so since I don't use it, I would not want them to delete it, because again, my YouTube channel is connected to that, that Gmail account. And it doesn't seem like they're gonna do that if that's the case.
Yeah. So you will have had to have uploaded a video for this to be the case. But yeah, that is a caveat. But here's my rationale for that. If you have YouTube videos that you've actually uploaded, regardless of how often people are watching them, if anybody ever watches them, I guarantee that Google's going to show ads on them. And ultimately, that's going to allow them to make money. So the accounts that they're deleting are the ones that only cost them money. These are the free accounts. You're not using it, so you're not seeing ads. So they're not monetizing you that way. But when it comes to YouTube, it is very possible that somebody like you, Tiff or Steph, have created an account, uploaded some YouTube videos, and then ghosted that account because you're just not doing that anymore. But those videos still may get views, ultimately driving revenue for Google overall. So
the only caveat to that is you have to have enough YouTube activity, i.e. subscribers, followers, views, whatever the case may be, to even deem it the ability to then you able to enable monetizing your channel. Because I don't know if YouTube is running ads on accounts that don't meet the qualifications of it being monetized in the first place. That would be the only thing I would ask about in regards to your scenario about why they're not deleting the YouTube accounts.
Yeah, it probably would just be a lot messier too. They'd have to argue with a whole lot more folks. I didn't realize you were deleting my YouTube account. So, but yeah, just wanted to put that public service announcement out there, because 2 years is not a long time. It's a long time for probably almost everyone listening to this show, but for a lot of folks, 2 years is not a long time. And what I've seen this happen before, where someone had an account. They had some pictures saved in the account, like they were saving pictures in an email directly, or they were saving it in Google Drive or inside Google Photos or something like that. And then they can't remember the account information. And it's like a whole thing to try to log back into it because they want to get back to some baby pictures or something like that. So just want everybody to know, if you're not logging into your old accounts, just go log. If all it takes is for you to log into them and just show that there's activity there, and that'll reset the counter. But just make sure you do that, because they start getting rid of those things in just a few days here. So y'all, the first story that we're going to get into is one from our very own Miss Tech Life Steph, who got some new tech over the last couple of weeks. So yeah, you done defected away from the Windows family and became a Windows user. But here's the thing I'm noticing as you holding up your brand new, is that the titanium black one?
No, this is midnight.
Midnight. Okay.
You might not be able to see it, but it's dark blue.
Okay. So yeah, you holding it up, but I ain't see any cores hanging out of it. So clearly you are not using it right now to do this show.
So I am not. Yeah. And there is a reason for that. I know Wayne said fingerprints. I know that was the first thing. It was so funny when I did the unboxing video. I made the mistake of putting lotion on my hands right before I did the video, because I was like, my hands are going to be in the video, so I can't have ashy hands in the video. And there was a huge thumbprint right on like here that you can see in the video. And I tried to be slick and sort of move the machine to the, and I actually wiped it off before I picked it back up and brought it back into the frame of the video, because this thing picks up fingerprints like crazy. And I said, you know, in, I think when I posted it to TikTok, one of the postings, I said, you know, besides the fingerprints, I love it. And by the way, I know there was a space black, you know, version of the Pro that doesn't, is supposed to be finger. I didn't want the black. I didn't want the Pro. I wanted the Midnight Air. And that's what I got. And I would just have to continue to use my microfiber cloth to clean the top off. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care.
So for all of our listeners who are not watching us right now, she just let you know, so you understand what we're talking about. Steph actually showed her laptop on camera. So you're not missing a whole lot, because I couldn't even tell what color it was from the glare that was on it.
But you can see those fingerprints.
Showed up, can see the fingerprints though. So
you can see the fingerprints. Definitely. But there's a problem. And Terrence, I actually was going to call you over the weekend.
I told you on the text messages on two occasions because I knew what was going to happen, but I'll let you know.
A couple things happened. I mean, because yeah, I'm an engineer. I'm a figure it out my mouth, first of all, if I can. But two things happened. I did get to use it, which was like just the most blissful experience, because actually the video for, I posted a quick little video of a picture of my family for Thanksgiving. And I kind of did I did some keyframes in Premiere Pro that made the video kind of move across, make it look like the, you know, the camera was panning across the photograph. And then I threw some stuff from Canva in there and, you know, whatever, whatever. And I did that on this machine, on the new MacBook Air. And it was such an enjoyable experience. It was so, number one, it was so fast. Like that was the first immediate thing that I noticed. I didn't even have my mouse connected at the time. It was just like straight trackpad, Premiere Pro, Canva, boom, 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 and done. Like I think I was done in like 15 minutes. I don't even think it took 15 minutes. It was just me trying to get the keyframes right, because I just always seem to struggle with those in Premiere Pro. But it was super fast, super convenient. Like the rendering, the AirDrop back to the phone when I was done, I was like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. And the AirDrop to the machine, number one. And it was like the photo was some weird HEIC file that I was able to bring right on in and didn't have to convert and didn't have to. I mean, it was the best editing experience I have ever had. Let's just preface all of this with that. But it took a minute for me to be able to do that, because there was some, and this might not be the Mac, it might be my Verizon. It took me a while to be able to get connected to my Wi-Fi here at the house. But I was having some issues with Wi-Fi in general, like my television disconnected from the Wi-Fi at one point, and my phone was acting janky for a minute. So I'm not going to blame that on the MacBook. I did do the update, the OS update, when I did finally get connected. And then it was still kind of like kicking me back off the Wi-Fi, back on, back off, back off. My phone has been doing that for a while as well. I think I just need a new router. So that I won't blame. At first I was like, this MacBook Air ain't gonna connect to my neck on Wi-Fi. Like I was feeling some kind of way, because it seemed like it was just the laptop that would not connect to the Wi-Fi until some of my other devices started acting up as well. And I was just like, I did, you know, kind of a reset. I went in the Verizon app and had them run a diagnostic, you know, remotely, and they did something. And so far, you know, since Saturday, it's been working pretty well. But I was doing some running through some of the things that they tell you to do if you're having trouble connecting to Wi-Fi. And it wouldn't do some of those things either, which I was kind of curious about because there was something about a DHCP, DCHP lease. You have to like update the lease of something and it like wouldn't do that. So I was like, why isn't it making this? Why I'm clicking on this button and it's not doing nothing. So I thought that was a little bit odd. But now, today, just today, actually, I got on and was trying to do some stuff because I was supposed to, I had to hop on a Zoom earlier today and I was going to do the Zoom from the air. Cause the friend I was Zooming with, she knew I bought a new laptop as well. And half of my keyboard sticks and I can't use the, like the O, the M, the I. Like all the, like most of the keys on the JKL semicolon side of the keyboard aren't working at this point. And I'm just like, did I just not use these keys when I was editing or did they start sticking since then? You know what I mean? Cause I did that for Thanksgiving. So I did that on Thanksgiving. But I really didn't use it that much after, you know, Friday, I was out of town. I went to New York and was doing a bunch of stuff. Didn't use the computer. Saturday, really didn't use the computer. And again, over the weekend is when I was having the Wi-Fi issues. So I was kind of like trying to figure that out. But then I was like, whatever, I don't care. So I didn't use it that much, pretty much all the way until now. Cause Monday I was in Baltimore. You know what I mean? Like it sat for a little while. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but literally, probably 6 or 7 of my keys or my letter keys don't work. And I'm just like, the fuck? Like this machine costs way too much money for keys to be sticking. And I'm like, I've not been eating over it. There's no crumbs on it yet. There can't be any dust that much, you know, dust on it yet. I'm not about to start popping keys off to try to figure out what's going on. Cause I just bought the thing. I'm just going to take it back and see what they say. But I have to say it was a little disappointing when I logged on today and started trying to just, you know, do my thing and type. And like I said, I was, you know, trying to type in a URL, couldn't get the C, couldn't get the O, couldn't get the M, couldn't get the, like, it was just a lot of keys on the keyboard just were not working. So yeah, that's why I'm not on it right now. Cause I can't get to websites because some of my keys don't work and they don't type the letters out.
Yeah. I would take it back. That sounds like a defective Mac when you talk about the networking issues on top of the keys. The Air is a older generation device. It's an M2, right?
Yes.
It's an M2. So it's been out for a while. So it's not, I'm a cynic. I wouldn't put it above Apple to somebody would have bought that Mac, had the same issues, took it back. Apple was like, oh, we'll just replace it and give you another one. Did their little diagnostics and was like, oh, this is fine, and resold it to you. I wouldn't put it past them. So those issues, like with the keys and the networking, that sounds like hardware issues, you know, not something that you can just reset, you know, wipe it and start over, or, you know, that problem didn't come over. Let's just say you try to do a migration and try to migrate some documents or whatever the case may be over to this new Mac. And then that brought some ghost issues. That sticky keys and networking issues sounds like hardware issues, whether it be the actual physical keys or the networking card inside of the Mac is defective. So all that, I wouldn't even bother with it. I would take it straight back to Apple.
Oh, first, I am.
I would make sure that they have a new one in stock for you to pick up. Because 9 times out of 10, Apple's going to be like, oh, you just bought this. We ain't even trying to diagnose it. And we'll call you in a couple of days after we run our diagnosis. They'll look at it. They'll play with it and be like, oh, we're just going to give you another one. And what would suck would be you taking it to Apple saying something's wrong with this computer. They say, yeah, you're right. It's defective. And since you just bought it a week or so ago, we're just going to give you a new one. But you got to wait. Because we ain't got none in stock, so it won't be till the middle of December until you get one. So I would make sure they got one in stock in the store and be like, I bet now I'm going up here to say something's wrong with it and then let them tell you, we're just going to give you a new one.
And I don't believe this will be the case. And I know you know this, but don't let them give you a refurbished one. You want it brand new. And it's like, no, this John is brand new out the box and I haven't been able to actively use it yet. I want a brand new one. Or if you can't do that, just give me my money back and then turn around and buy another one.
You're not replacing a new machine with a refurbished machine.
No, I actually, this is a few years ago, but I had a friend who bought a phone from Verizon. The phone shows up at her house. She opens it up. And the phone has a crack, like right on the very bottom right corner of the screen. It's like, put it right back in the box and drive over to a Verizon store. They didn't have it in the store. So they said, oh yeah, we'll just send you a new one. But they didn't send her a brand spanking new one in a box. They sent her one that looked like it was like overstock or that was actually refurbished. It didn't come like in the original box, like when she had bought the thing brand new. And she was like, no, take that second one back. Don't even open it and have them either give you your money back or give you a brand new phone because you never actually used it. It makes no sense for you to be working with a refurbished one at this point. So I'm glad that you got it.
Yeah.
And,
I see the potential, once we can work these little kinks out. But I have to say, for as much as I'm paying, I just would not have expected anything to be wrong with this machine. Machines fail. It is what it is. It happens. But again, this was not, this was a very,
judgment.
Right. This was a very considered purchase. You know what I mean? I just would not have expected something this expensive to fail in this way. Right. You know what I mean? Like four or five keys not working. Like that's just, cheap QA. Shit. Like
QA what? Issues.
Right. And I'm like, what's happening right now? So,
I thought you were going to say, I got this new Mac and it don't connect to nothing because all I got on these ports are USB-C, Thunderbolt 3 or 4, whatever Mac is pushed out with the Air.
No, I'm trying to find.
And now I can't connect my camera. I can't connect the mic.
No. I'm trying to find what I got this. I'm trying to find. Where is that little dongle? This is the dongle I got to go to do all the stuff.
Saytechie? Was that Saytechie? You showed it real quick. Saytechie?
Yeah.
I would, to be honest, I would step up and spend.
No, I'm going to. Okay. I just needed something. I didn't want to leave the store. I didn't want to leave the store with nothing.
Yeah, I would keep that one to travel.
Yeah.
And get another bigger one that has its own power source.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I told the guy, I was like, here it is. I was like, I told the guy, I don't want to leave the store with nothing.
Right.
So let me just get this now. And then, cause I saw a few other ones that had, more ports and different stuff. And, I was like, yeah, let me go ahead on. But, and then I got the mouse, of course, the magic mouse. That works fine. I mean, you need a mouse, right? Mm-hmm. So those were the three things that I left the store with. But again, I'm like, honey, it's not going to be working.
So,
feel so, some kind of way. I got to tell you.
So here's
make
the
sure
thing.
Make sure you tell them, hey, y'all messing up my PC to Mac experience with this Mac not working and let them, y'all need to figure this out because I can very easily go back and get me a little PC and go
although,
on my business.
Although I will say, and I don't know if it's just something in the water these days, when I bought my last previous laptop, I still have it. I was going to actually trade it in and then I just decided I'll keep it as a backup. I have a Dell XPS 15 that I bought in 2020, maybe 2020, 2021, one of those. It was right at pandemic, time frame. That thing stopped working immediately. It was overheating, right out of the box. And I had somebody come to my house. I remember because he had a mask on and we had to stay social distance and he came to the house and, changed the fan out, still overheated. I sent it back to Dell. They sent it back to me. And it's okay, but it ain't right. It's like once you get a car in an accident, it ain't the same kind of car. I don't ride the same. That's kind of how I feel about that laptop. Although, it doesn't necessarily overheat anymore. It still gets a little warmer than I'm comfortable with. But it was my travel machine, so I didn't really care that much about it. But I'm like, what's up with laptops? Like, that
I was just about to say,
you better, you know what I'm saying?
Like, check to make sure you ain't got any gremlins, some gremlins walking around or something like that, because you and I have the exact same Dell laptop. I have the same one. We had compared model numbers and everything. And I don't want to say I've never had an issue with it, because I did have an issue with it probably 2 years in, but I got that 4 year support on it. They just said, oh, we'll just send you a new one. So they sent me a brand new, they literally just sent me a brand new one. And, so I think it was an issue that they knew they'd been having an issue with. So instead of trying to go around and, cause I said, hey, this is my work. So y'all need to send me something so I can actually work while you're working on, on this other one. So they just sent me a new one, and it was what I would expect, you know, cause I'm paying for it, but it's like, I had a new machine like 30 hours later. And
that was what I was expecting them to do once the first service person couldn't fix my problem. I'm like, just send me a new machine. Like, it was brand new, so send me a new one. I'm like, but they're like, no, you got to send it back. And then, you know, and all this back and forth. And then I was without my machine and everything else. So yeah, I was very disappointed in that process as well. So we'll see. Like I said, I'm just clearly having bad luck with laptops at this point. And, you know, thankfully I still have, you know, a pretty robust desktop setup that I can use in the meantime. But, this stuff costs too much money to be acting up like this. Like, come on, like, both of y'all, PCs, Mac, all of y'all just janky right now. I don't appreciate it.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So y'all, this next story, this is one that actually one of our patrons, Josie, sent in to us a little over a week ago. No, we weren't able to talk about it last week because Steph, I wanted to wait until you were on specifically to talk about this story. But Dove and Code My Crown, they have co-launched a guide for coding with black hair, specifically for video games. So for our listeners who are not African-American, darker melanated, and have the kind of hair that we have, it is very difficult to get a avatar or a character to get your hair right. Unless your hair looks like Terrence's, or you're bald, or it looks like mine when it's not twisted up. I normally don't have my hair just in a little fro like this. I just got it cut. So I haven't twisted it up yet. But once you go to black hair, and I'm talking about for men, they give you like three types. Once you get out of them three types, your hair is just not going to look like you. Stephanie, for women, it is so much worse. So much worse. So I actually downloaded this guide and was going through it. Mm-hmm. And I got to give it to Dove and Code My Crown. They put it in it on here's what you need to do to get folks' hair looking right. And, you know, have them looking like they look so that, you know, so they're representative of their own style as compared to just having to try to get something that doesn't look crazy, even though it looks nothing like you. So we held off on doing this last week because I wanted to make sure you were here. I want to get your take on this.
No, they did an excellent job. And shout out to Dove in general. Dove has been fighting the good fight for natural hair for a long time. You know, they started back with the crown, you know, championing the Crown Act and really putting a lot of their effort and lobbying marketing dollars and everything else into advocating for the Crown Act, which if any listener is not familiar, is a initiative or where they're trying to change laws in each state to not to make it illegal to discriminate against somebody because of their hair, which happens all the time, which, you know, you may say, what's the big deal? It's just hair. Exactly. What's the big deal?
Right.
It's just hair. Mm-hmm. So why am I not being hired because of it? Or why are you cutting high school kids' locks off at
wrestling
games?
Wrestling matches and stuff like that.
You know what I mean? Like, if it's just hair, then why are you making such a big deal about it? You know what I mean? So, you know, that's the first thing. Shout out to Dove in general for all of the work that they have done to advocate for, you know, the ridiculous notion that we have to fight to wear our hair the way it grows out of our freaking heads. But saying that, I looked at these and I thought they were really great. I'm not a gamer. I don't call myself a gamer. I don't game a ton, but I can imagine, and I've played enough games where you have to pick your glasses and pick your this and pick your skin tone and pick your, where there were no hair choices, you know, for women of color. I mean, now obviously seeing my hair as it is right now, I don't need that many options, but people do. And women do, and you know, anybody with hair that doesn't conform to normal, you know, traditional mainstream standards, deserves to be able to find something that resonates with them, that they can relate to, and that they can use in a game.
And even if, like Stephanie, like you said, if you was a gamer and you decided to build a character around yourself, yeah, there may be some challenges, but even if you didn't, most people veer far from what they really look like in a game, and they do something crazy, outrageous, right?
All right. I might want some Afro puffs or whatever.
Like you said, and, you know, and the fact that, you know, let's just keep it 100, you know, white people, if they want to build a character in Fortnite or Call of Duty or, you know, Overwatch or Battlegrounds or all these different places to where you can actually customize your character, NBA 2K, whatever the case may be, you know, there are so many different options for people to just go as wild as they want while also keeping that ability to keep it as close to you as possible. And if you, Stephanie, wanted to say, okay, well, do something totally unlike me, you could do that. But when it comes to, like you're saying, something that resembles you, that's where the problem happens. And
the disconnect.
Right. And, you know, for, like I mentioned before, if a white person wanted to go, they could go something totally wild, purple, blue, pink, black, whatever the case may be. But if they did want to create something that resembles them, they also have that choice. And it's just subconscious that you have that choice. And then for us, for brown and black people, for whatever the case may be, you know, it's not that, you know, default. Right. And it'd be nice if we just had more options as a default.
Just a couple options, a couple more options.
A few options, because like Terrence was saying, you can go into some of these games and they literally have dozens upon dozens of different hairstyles. In some cases, they may even be hundreds of different choices. But when it comes to like type four, kinky curly,
type
4C hair, 3B. It's like they literally give you four or five options. and that's it. And then every other hairstyle that you can get is like, nah, not if your hair is kinky curly. So I absolutely applaud Coat My Crown and Dove for doing this, because as I said, you know, for anyone who's listening, if you want to just see this, you know, head over to our website, techtimes.com, and look at the show notes for this particular show, because we've got a link to
Dove. Dope hairstyles.
They got some
there.
Dope ones in here.
I mean, they really like went all out on these hairstyles that they chose to put in there. And we have to mention too that the guy that Dove was working with was created by Black artists in partnership with the Open Source Afro Hair Library. So apparently there is a place that you can go to get the code and the specs and everything else for different types of natural Black hair. So anybody listening that is working at, you know, Blizzard or Activision or whatever, you can't say that we don't know. And we didn't know. We don't know how to do it. There's a whole open source library. The open source Afro hair library is there waiting for you to engage with it, to include these types of hair textures and styles in your games going forward. Mm-hmm. So now ignorance is no longer an excuse.
Or don't give nobody no options. That'd be my thing. If I start off with a game.
Taking them all away.
Yeah. Everybody gets five looks. That's what it is. And deal with it because this is a video game. If you're not, and you're going to make things more technical or personal or customizable, make it customized for everybody.
Make it customizable for everybody.
Or you do nobody. It can't be halfway for some people and then a little bit for somebody else and then all this for somebody else. It's either all or none. Pick one.
Right.
Yes. It's tiring. I got to wear a hat or something. You got to wear something else on your head just because you can't get anything that approximates the kind of hair that you're trying to get to. So,
right.
So yeah,
this is interesting. When I saw this, because I should have it very shortly. I did something very self-indulgent and made a custom Funko Pop of myself. And it's on its way, and there were no hair options for me at all. Like the one that I picked is like me with longer, but it's me with straight hair. That's the thing. And it's just like I don't recall any curly headed options, but if there was, it was just one of those real little baby 70s afro kind of options or whatever. I mean, and granted, you know, I don't think Funko gives you a lot of options in general. Cause I was clicking through and creating, there weren't a ton of options at all in general, but there definitely were no, black hair options. And I was like, well, dang, what is my hair supposed to look like? Like there's nothing in here that relates to me, but, we'll be doing a reveal on the show sooner rather than later. It's coming. It's in transit as we speak.
I definitely want to see that because I'm getting you can't see it. They're behind me, but I've got my little collection of Funko Pops going on behind me. I don't know why I'm collecting them, but kind of like them. So yeah,
they're cool. They add a little something to the scenario. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like they're cool.
So yeah, we will definitely check that out. So y'all, we're going to continue a story from last week where Terrence and I talked about this right when we were in the middle of it. But in fact, we even named the last episode, I think it was just OpenAI is tripping. So let me catch you up on basically what has been happening with OpenAI. OpenAI is the company that is behind ChatGPT and a couple other things you probably heard of. And for whatever reason, we still have not gotten a good reason yet. They decided a week ago last Friday to fire Sam Altman, one of their founders and CEO of the company. And once again, they never really gave a good reason. So this happened. They did this right at the close of business on Friday, two Fridays ago. They didn't give anybody any notice. Usually when you're doing something like this, you would give your big investors, Microsoft, some advanced warning. The rumor is that Microsoft found out 16 minutes before this thing hit the news wire. So Microsoft didn't know what was going on. Nobody knew what was going on. And really the board never really gave you a reason. They just like, we just don't trust this dude anymore. So he's got to go. So this happened, like I said, two Fridays ago. Within 24 hours, the next day on Saturday, they were in discussions to hire Sam Altman back because it was just that bad. And long story short, those talks kind of fell down. Microsoft said, well, hey, we'll hire you. We'll hire Greg Brockman. We'll bring you guys in and here's a check. Go hire all the people you need. And you can just come over here and work for Microsoft. And we made mention of this, that OpenAI is based in California. So it's California is one of the most right to work states that we have. You know, it is very, 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 very difficult to enforce any type of non-competes in that state. So Microsoft like, just come on over, you know, come on and work over here. This was on Saturday. Those talks kind of fell through by Sunday. Sunday moves into Monday. You now have a letter. And I believe it was they had 780 employees well over 700 of them. I've heard different numbers. It was 755. It was 762. But almost everybody that worked at this company was just flat out against the board and was basically saying, look, here's what y'all going to do. You're going to either bring this dude back and then resign, or we're all going to quit and take our talents over to Microsoft. So that was on Monday when Terrence and I talked about it. And then by Tuesday, it looks like that Sam Altman is back. So 5 days later, he's back. Most of the board was let go. There was one holdover from the board so that the old board still will have some interest in the new board going forward. But yeah, he's back. So Steph, I'll let you go first on this one. Just want to get your take, because there's no way you could have missed any of this. This was like, what is this company doing? I mean, it was making regular news. It was not the tech news. This was like on CBS and NBC at like 6 o'clock type news, 7 o'clock type news.
Yeah, no, definitely. Actually, it's funny. GMA called me to do a quick piece about it. I couldn't do it though, but they called me, texted me like Friday night or something, or Thursday night, maybe whenever it had just happened, to do a quick Zoom to go on air, that next day. And I just couldn't do it. But yeah, this made national headlines kind of across the board. But I think it just all boils down to cash rules, everything around me. And, Sam started seeing dollar signs and all of that altruistic bullshit they tried to build this company on went out the window when $13 billion came into play. I mean, you just can't, who's turning down $13 billion? Like, it's just way too much money to, and that much money corrupts people. I just don't know that you can't not be corrupted by that much money. And I just feel like that's what happened. And the dollar signs, he probably had those little cartoon dollar signs in his eyes at one point. And all of that, like I said, that altruistic, we're going to make this a nonprofit, we're going to keep it open source, we're going to make sure we do this ethically, and all of that, it just went out the window because $13 billion. So it'll be interesting to see though now what direction this company goes in. And because we know historically AI does not benefit people that look like us. So do we see this company going in the direction of, what was that company that, Amazon was working with that was like doing the police, all of the facial recognition for the police? There was like a particular, it might have been Amazon, but there was either Amazon or a company associated with Amazon, a couple of years back, had to kind of pull back off of the facial recognition stuff with law enforcement. But I mean, I see so many different permutations of where this can go now. And Skynet. Skynet.
So Terrence, before you go, I just want to give Tech Life Stephanie Humphrey some props, because she just glossed over it. For y'all who don't realize the acronym GMA, she's talking about Good Morning America. Yeah, the one with Michael Strahan in them. So I just want to make sure you get your props out on that, because you just kind of said that all kind of quick. So, but Terrence, what's your thoughts on this?
No, that's what I was going to say. I'm on the fence about it, because again, if I start and found a company, as in co-found from the ground, built this thing up to where now we've got Microsoft and we've got all these companies, it's like itching to get in, right? I'll be damned if you're going to fire me from my company that I started from nothing. Half of me is almost like, if I were ever in a position to start a company like that, I wouldn't take nobody's money externally. I wouldn't have nobody on the board. It'd be me, myself, and I running the company, because this is what happens when you get shareholders, when you get a board members, when you get directors, when you get all
you're accountable
things
to somebody now.
Right, right. Men's Warehouse. How'd the phrase go? How's that phrase go with the
You'll
dude?
Love the way you look.
You look, I guarantee it. They kicked him out, and that was his company. Yeah. So it's like it happens all the time, So on one hand,
well, they kicked Kimberly Bryant out of her own company, yeah, Black
exactly.
Girls Code.
Yep. It happens all the time. So on one hand of me says shout out to Sam for you flexing his muscles and doing what he needed to do to get his own company back. Right. On the other hand, I'm like, capitalism wins because the nonprofit side so, that was trying to get him out of the paint, they were like, "Nah, we're going too fast. What about our founding principles? And like Stephanie said, what about our morals and ethics? And what about guardrails as it relates to AI? We've had all these scientists speak out and say, this is dangerous. Y'all going too fast. There's no regulation, X, Y, and Z, A, B, C, all the things down. And the nonprofit side seemed to be like, all right, we are in line with these things. So let's figure out a way to do this ethically while still, you know, being a company that is about profits. And Sam and them was like, nah. And so now, son. All the members of the board that were like, yo, let's do this ethically. They out now, you know, and now like 9 times out of 10, it's going to be full steam ahead. Damn regulations, damn morals and ethics. The next company that comes and wants to give us multiple billions of dollars, that's the way we're going. And that's kind of like
the
board, the board. And this is just my opinion, you know, and looking at this, not even a week after this stuff has happened. The board really messed this up because they probably could have gotten a lot of what they wanted with keeping Sam Altman in the first place. But now what has happened is that the board only had 4 folks on it. One of the board members.
Well, that was the first problem.
So, Terrence and I, we talked about this last week, that they were still running this $90 billion valuated company like a nonprofit, which is just wrong. They shouldn't be doing that because $90 billion. They should not be running like they were still a $40-50 million company. It just shouldn't have been running like that. So that's problem number one. Problem number two, they really, three of the 4 board members really just didn't like Sam Altman. They just wasn't feeling them. They really didn't like them. They were we're building these AI tools and we're doing it for the betterment of humanity and all of that stuff. And he's the one that's like, we need to make some money, y'all. And then Microsoft's like, well, hey, how about we give you $13 billion and see what can happen? I'm being a bit facetious, but not really. So they go from this nonprofit to this $90 billion company. At least that's what they're worth on paper. And you can't operate like a nonprofit anymore. Even because there's really 2 businesses. There is the OpenAI for business and there's the OpenAI nonprofit. All the board really was the nonprofit folks. Even Ilias, what's his name?
Stutzkever.
He was, I don't know if Sam did something to just upset him at the last minute and they were able to get him to agree.
He changed his tune so quick. Did the muscle come hang you over the dangle you over the balcony like Red from the 5 Heartbeats or something? Like what?
What time's his office hours?
Right. Now, I was like, how did they get this woman to change his tune that quick? Yeah. And it's crazy. And I read something. And it might have been in, because I read this Vox article before you put it in our rundown, and it might have been in that article or another article, because you know everybody's like, what was the thing that the board was scared of or mad about in the first place? Because they still haven't said that, but I did read something to the effect that they could potentially, possibly already be moving towards AGI. And, you know, for everybody that has been like, oh, it just reacts. Oh, it just, you know, AI doesn't make decisions. It doesn't think on its own. And generative AI does not do that. It scrapes the web and it takes what is out there and it creates stuff based on what is already out there. AGI, however, does do that. It does think for itself. Artificial general intelligence does learn as it goes and starts to think for itself. Yeah, and there was
Johnny Five, yo. Johnny Five. Right.
There is that language in one of these articles that I've read. There is that language that the company OpenAI may potentially already be well down that path. And that was why the board decided to try to put the kibosh on Sam Altman, because he was, you know, it was out of the gate and he was taking it and running with it. And again, you know, we joke about Skynet. Everybody always chuckles when you say Skynet, but that's what Skynet is. You know what I mean? And this is how it starts. And so, you know, $13 billion will make you look the other way and justify a lot of things, you know, but once that genie's out of that bottle and we can't get it back, then what?
Yeah. So, one of the things that Terrence, you said was that a lot of times companies will come in their ownership, they get them up out of there. That happens with more companies than you would think. When a company gets bought, it is not uncommon to relieve the CEO, and, you know, founder or two of their responsibilities. It doesn't happen all the time. I don't even say it happens most of the time, but it happens a lot. And one of the reasons for that is because when it is your baby, when this is the thing that you have, you thought the idea up and you created it, it's a lot harder for you to make decisions. One of the reasons why Satya Nadella at Microsoft is doing as well as he is doing at this company. For those who don't know, Microsoft just hit its biggest stock price ever. I want to say last week, they're just killing it right now, is because he doesn't have any of that baggage. Well, Windows is my thing or Xbox is my thing. You know, when he took over, he very, very quickly realized that it ain't about making PCs and ain't about making operating systems anymore. It's all about Azure. That's where we're going to make our money. And that's how he's moved. And that's sometimes that's very difficult to do with a Steve Ballmer or with a Bill Gates, because it is their baby that they kind of not necessarily thought up, but they were there from the very beginning of which your company was founded on. And, you know, the company needs to go in a different direction. That wasn't the case here with OpenAI. They basically started doing what they were doing with their founders. And okay, wait a minute. This ChatGPT stuff is pretty cool. We probably can make some money with this. Okay, let's go ahead and do that. And they were cool with it in the beginning. And Microsoft and other companies gave them all this money and they were cool with what was happening, what was happening on the business side of this. And then the board is like, oh no, we need to go get the pro business folks up out of here, starting with Sam Altman. And that's, you generally don't see that. You know, like I said, we will uncover the postmortems when they come out, but it seems to me like, OpenAI's board, they didn't have to fire this dude. They could have figured out some additional things, put some additional parameters in place.
I believe that Sam Altman was running the show how he wanted to run the show, because he was the founder and the CEO, and the board was like a traditional board. It's like, all right, we have voting power.
And thinking that he should answer to them, because that's what you're supposed to do.
And Sam was like, no, forget y'all. I'm going to ignore you. And whatever you say, I don't care. And
I'm going to go take this $13 billion.
And that's where the communication issues was. The vote, the right. Board was like, hey, let us know what's going on. And Sam was like, no.
Right.
So they was like, right. I bet. Let's get you out of here.
Yeah. But right. that could absolutely be it.
But what happened was, it just so happened the money was on Sam's side. What you're saying, Rob, in most cases, the money is on the board side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It just so happened in this case, the money was on the
CEO side.
Right. So, he was like, I got the bag.
All they did was make it worse.
The golden rule, he who holds the gold makes the rules. And that's what it was.
They made it worse because they at least had some power. They had the power to fire, but they didn't have the power to stand up behind that decision. But so I think that the board could have got some stuff done. But now, let's say, Ilya's still there, but he's no longer on the board. They got rid of the two women on the board. Now that's not lost on me. It's like, y'all need to diversify this board a little bit.
That's what they was going to do.
But the people
they was trying to do that from the beginning, I'm sure.
But the folks that they replaced them with are so pro business. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't even stop there. Microsoft, I'm just going to go ahead and call it. I would be willing to bet you that Microsoft will get a seat on this board as soon as they expand it.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no question about that.
The first seat that opens up. And I don't think they thought all of those employees were gone. You know, jump mutiny the way they did either. I think they thought they were going to keep that core and he could go. And they didn't bank on, number one, how popular he was as a manager and as a leader. And, you know, he had created this brand for himself around this company and that whole thing. And he was already popular in the Valley anyway, but, I don't think they really, expected 90% of their employees to be like, oh, if he goes, we go, and mean that, you know. So they tried to play, you know, the little joker, and Sam had the big joker, and, and that's what happens.
I could be making this up, but this is how this plays out in my head of what happened. So Satya Nadella gets notified that, yeah, they just fired your boy over here at OpenAI. He's like, wait, what now? It's like, they in California, right? Get the lawyer on the phone right fast. Mm-hmm. Can we hire everybody?
Right.
Oh, we can?
And yep.
Bet.
And that's what happened.
That's what happened. It's like, come on over and you can hire everybody you need to.
How did Suge Knight do it? We ain't going to be dancing in the videos if you want to come on over to death row.
But the problem is going
come
to be.
Come on over to death row. We ain't going to be dancing in no videos.
A potential problem could be now for Sam Altman is now the money is in the board. Now you got all these pro-business folks. Now you got shareholders. Now you got Microsoft involved. Now the next thing he want to do, now
but he's
got to answer
stack
to
the deck.
True,
with his
but
people.
But look, people move how they move and people disagree how they disagree, you know, regardless of whatever's going on. And if there's a clash, there ain't no guarantee that this same play will work again. Now,
no, he couldn't. He, it wouldn't do it again. Yeah, he wouldn't be able to do it again.
Right. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, how, you know, everybody kumbaya going forward. If there's any sort of issues, you know, can he, like I said, can he make that same play? Like, I'm going to get the scientists and so-and-so and I'm going to do this and I'm going to get the partners and whatever. If the partners are already over here and they're like, nah.
Yeah, I think he got it. He can throw enough money at this situation at this point to bring on who he needs to bring on to be Team Altman. And basically run the company unchallenged at this point.
So y'all, this last story that we're going to talk about today is a quick hit of a story, but I wanted to bring it up because it's like, man, companies just be doing some stupid stuff. So I don't know. Have either of you heard about the lawsuit that D Brands has launched against Casetify? These are both companies that make cases for phones, skins for iPads, skins for computers and stuff like that. But D Brands, they're known for these tear down cases where the case, what it basically do is they take apart the hardware and they take very high resolution pictures of the hardware. And then they do some enhancing colors here, making things clear so you can see through stuff. But ultimately these cases, these skins, it looks like you're looking through your phone. So if you get an iPhone 15, they have created a case where they've taken a bunch of internal pictures of iPhone 15 and you put that on your case.
I feel like I had a case like that.
Here's the problem for me. I didn't have the teardown case. I actually had the Casetify case that was basically jacking all these designs.
So
full disclosure.
I actually had
the Casetify case. But essentially, what D Brands was doing is they were putting Easter eggs in their cases. So they would have things like the date that they were founded and just little different things that only would mean anything to them. They're very subtle. You wouldn't notice them if you didn't know to look for them, but they have Easter eggs in all of their cases. These jokers over at Casetify that are doing the inside out cases, they were not doing their own teardown. I was watching a video. One of the guys that works on these, he's famous for literally tearing apart stuff, taking pictures of it. And, you know, this is what he does. So they've put thousands of hours into work in doing these teardown cases. Inside out did none of that work. They straight up jacked the pictures from D Brand, and they weren't even doing it in a good way. They weren't even getting like high resolution pictures. Some of the pictures that they were using were straight off of D Brand's website. How do we know this? Because someone took a picture with a camera of their screen and you can see the lens of the camera and the reflection in the screen, which they said that's fine for the website, but we would never do that in one of our actual cases. And Inside Out, or I should say Casetify on their Inside Out actually has that on one of their cases, like this low res picture that was snagged right off of their website. So I just wanted to get your guys' take on that. How dumb do you have to be?
It wasn't dumb. They just got caught.
I guess you're right, because they just got caught.
I'm sure it happens all the time. Because
Casetify is like a $1 billion company. It's like they're not small.
Amazon is even bigger. If they get somebody that's making something that is shipping their product to Amazon to do fulfillment by Amazon, Amazon says, oh, this product is hot. I guarantee you within a week's time, they will put their own product. It's called Amazon Basics. I know you've seen them. Batteries, cases, product is hot. They're like, all right, we're going to go ahead and make our own copy. Take the same look, put Amazon Basics on it, put ours above the fold.
No.
And make the money that way.
They didn't take the same kind of look. They took the look. They actually took D-Brand's actual proprietary stuff.
Like I said, that ain't dumb. That's business. And they just got caught. They just got caught because companies do it all the time. They just got caught.
I didn't have that case. I had,
the screen saver, the screen.
My wallpaper was the whole internal. It was pretty cool. I got to find that.
No, anyway, I actually had a Casetify Inside Out for like my last note. I think I had the Galaxy Note 10 and I had a case for that. So I'm upset about that I bought something that was jacked because I didn't know. And I mean, nobody knew until now.
Pretty sure we all have products laying around the house that has been
that are a copy, right? That are a dupe of something,
right?
It ain't Gucci, it's Hoochie,
right?
But yeah, I want to stick that in there because it was just like, it's like, man, it's like they just went out and just ganked these pictures off. And it's like,
That's the problem. That's the real problem. It's like it'd be one thing for them to say, okay, this is working for them. You know, let's do something similar. Let's take our own pictures, but we're going to copy the same concept and redo it for our cases. Instead of it being skins, we're going to make cases or whatever the case may be. And the fact that they didn't even bother to take the time to buy their own iPhones and notes and Galaxies. Take them apart.
Who got time for that?
Right. But you would
think. It's already done. The work's already done.
Exactly. And I think that's the part to where they're like, come on, man. If y'all had worked just a little bit harder, you probably could have got away from it. But the blatant disrespect to not even take a screenshot, like me taking a screenshot of a picture somewhere and using it as a icon image someplace else. It's like, y'all could have put a little bit more effort into it if you didn't do it.
But yeah, they didn't have to.
So yeah,
they totally didn't have to.
It's just funny to me. So I want to see, cause they're going to settle this. There's no way they're going to let this go to trial.
And here's the other part though. I saw the same video and the dude said, I jerry rig everything. I think is his name. He goes on YouTube and he's like, it's not about the money. It's like, come on, man. It's always about,
it's about the money.
Anybody that tells you it's not about the money. It is about the money unless they sue for a dollar. There are people, I think, not Taylor Swift, but maybe it was even Taylor Swift. Somebody, they countersued for something and they countersued for a dollar because it's like, I just want people to know that whatever they're saying is completely legitimately wrong. I don't want nothing to gain from it except clearing my name. Those people, I'd be like, all right, it ain't about the money. Anybody that puts a large dollar amount behind anything, they took money into careful consideration.
Yeah, he did say that his cut is going to go to his wheelchair company because he actually has a company that he does. I believe it is a nonprofit that he runs because he tries to give wheelchairs away to as many people in the world who need them. Mm-hmm. So
and wheelchairs cost what?
They cost money. So
money.
So that's where his bit's going to go. Like I said, I cannot imagine that Casetify they will actually fight this in court. I think that ultimately they're going to try to figure out how to settle this.
They lost in the court of public opinion.
They've lost in a court of public opinion. But here is the cool thing, or the interesting thing of how tone deaf these companies are in their press release after they removed well over 100 items from their website for stuff they were jacking. They said that they have always been a bastion of originality. And I'm like, really? This is the time where you would actually go out and say something like that. Try to make it look like you are so caught. There's no way around it. You have someone else's Easter eggs in your actual hardware that you're putting out. You have a bad picture that has a camera glare in it off of someone's website that they said, oh, we'll just leave it on the website. We'll never build a case like that. You actually are building cases with a glare for, camera reflection from your competition's website. Y'all are cooked on this one. So we will see what ends up happening. But I, like I said, I'm calling it. They're going to settle this for, I'm guessing, a large sum of money. So y'all, I saw at the last minute, Tech Life Steph, you stuck a spotlight on here. So we haven't had one. I'm glad you did, because this is our last show for the month. We try to get at least one a month, and this will be the first one we've had this month. So Jeremiah Thoronka. Jeremiah Thoronka. So why don't you go ahead and tell us, what he is doing? Because it's pretty impressive.
Yes, he's doing some pretty impressive things. Jeremiah Thoronka is a young inventor, entrepreneur, and scholar from Sierra Leone behind the device that turns the vibrations from busy roads into electricity. Thoronka, who recently graduated with a Master of Science degree in Sustainability, Energy, and Development from Durham University, founded Optum Energy in 2017 when he was just 17 years old. Thoronka grew up in a slum on the outskirts of Freetown during the Sierra Leone Civil War, where he relied on charcoal and firewood to generate heat and light. At the age of 10, Thoronka was awarded a scholarship to one of the best schools in the region. And by the time he started studying at the African Leadership University in Rwanda, he had the skills needed to put his energy generation idea into action. Thoronka created an innovative piezoelectric device that, when placed under busy roads, captures the vibrations, i.e. the kinetic energy from pedestrians and traffic, and turns it into an electrical current. Unlike many other sources of renewable energy, Thoronka's device operates day and night, whatever the weather. The sun is not always shining, water is drying up, fossil fuels are not always going to be used, but people are always moving, Thoronka explained. Optum Energy later ran a successful pilot program in Thoronka's home neighborhoods. With just two devices, they provided free electricity to 15 schools attended by over 9,000 students, as well as 150 households comprising 1,500 people. Since 2017, I have grown Optum Energy into a larger initiative aiming to build a sustainable energy sector in Sierra Leone, diminish greenhouse gas emissions, and educate citizens on climate change, said Thoronka. The future is green if we start realizing and financing Africa's energy revolution. The young inventor also works to educate people in Sierra Leone about the environmental impacts, of energy use, so that they can use their power efficiently and conservatively and take action for sustainable solutions. Thoronka has been internationally recognized for his work to build Sierra Leone's sustainable energy sector. He was listed among the 100 most influential Africans in 2021. The World Wildlife Fund's top 100 young African conservation leaders, and was laureate of the inaugural Global Student Prize Commonwealth Youth Awards for excellence in development work in Africa. Shout out to Jeremiah Thoronka, making energy out of kinetic energy on the roads. And that's kind of like, those people that they have the soccer balls. I see that a lot in Africa. Like, they have the soccer balls that can generate, as you're playing with it, it generates and stores energy, and then you can actually use it, to, power different devices and things like that. It looks like he took that idea and sort of, extrapolated it to harness the power of the kinetic energy of everybody's footsteps and cars and everything else. Super dope.
So there's that saying, what is it? Necessity breeds ingenuity. I've heard that many, many times. And this is something that I don't want to say that we wouldn't think of it here, but we didn't think of it here because we pretty much have power everywhere that we need it. This is where it's like, wait a minute. These schools just don't have enough power. But there's all these cars, all these trucks, all these people walking back and forth. If we just put some stuff up under where they walk, under where they drive, we can power these schools for thousands of students. That is incredible. And here in this country, at some point, we're going to have to do a reimagining of our grid and just how we get power from point A to point B. That for us, it's more transmission than trying to generate more of it. But something tells me they're going to be hollering at this young man about his technology about. So yeah, show us how you actually built the road and people just driving on the road allow us to actually, run these superchargers so people can, fuel, I don't want to say fuel their car up, but charge their car up. That's going to happen here at some point. So
don't
yeah,
this negative is Nancy, but I don't believe any invention of this large scale. Cause if you think about it, I mean, this could revolutionize how we generate energy. And I don't believe any sort of invention coming out of Africa is going to anybody's going to piggyback off of that and propel this, this gentleman to the lead as far as generating energy for the future of the globe, because this is something that could be laid out across the globe. But since it's coming out of Africa, call me a negative Nancy, but I don't see
I hear,
the eternal pessimist.
I hear what you're saying.
Terrence is the eternal pessimist.
I hear what you're saying, but here's the thing, though, that people need to understand. Number one, Africa is not a country. It's a continent with 56 countries in it, and it's young. It's very young, and they have a lot of young folks over there and a lot of smart folks over there. And at some point is going to become about the money, because China's already, why is China there in the way that they're there in so many of these African countries? Because they realize the money that is ultimately, able to be made there. So at some point it's like, I hear and I even feel what you're saying, Terrence, but at some point, I think the Western world is going to start looking at, well, hold up. They making money off of this. We need to be making money too. That's generally how we roll with this.
Right.
So
even with the China example, Africans are not getting credit for the infrastructure of partnering with China to redo the infrastructure of the continent of Africa. China's getting the credit.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the same way with this.
Yeah, that's true.
American companies going to swoop in and they're going to use this technology same way you're saying, because they can make money off of it. But the continent of Africa, or the people who are creating this technology and this ingenuity, they are not going to get the credit, at the manner that they should. Because if they were, this young, he would already be on their radar. All the things that Stephanie mentioned, all the accolades, all the acknowledgements comes from Africa. No Western company said, hey, he is the top innovator of 2021. That was African countries and awards and things that are exalting this gentleman to do this stuff. And I think I could be totally wrong, but I don't see this young man being one. I don't know how old he is. I don't see him being the top lead scientist to bring kinetic energy to the United States. It's going to be some company that's going to partner with him, give him a little bit of money. But we're all going to think of the major company that created this revolutionary new technology that we all use nowadays. And we will, just like the street sign, just like peanut butter, just like all these other inventions, we'll find out in 2125 that it originated from Africa. It's never going to be on the top of our minds. It'll be footnote, a man in Africa created this. That's my point.
Hopefully we will get to a day to where we're just like, well, of course he did.
Exactly. That's
just where
we're going to stay positive.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, at some point we will be, positive. Well, of course.
I'm just saying.
So y'all, this was a good show. I know y'all like, are all our shows good? Yes, all of our shows are good. This was a good one. This was fun. We had a good rundown of stories today. But as all good things do, they come to an end. So it's time for us to wrap it up. So Tech Life, Steph, why don't you tell the folks how they can get at you?
You can follow me all around the web at Tech Life Steph, or check out my website at stephaniehumphrey.com, where you can pick up the book.
And you can find me all over the internet at Brother Tech. That's BROTHATECH.
And I'm at Rob Dunwood on all the things. And we are also at The Tech John on all the things. And I didn't say this earlier, so I'll say it now. If you would like to support The Tech John, you can do so by heading over to Patreon, where we've got multiple tiers over there, any one of which gets you access to our live stream and after party. And a couple of them actually get you access to an ad-free stream. So if you're interested in that and supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/TechJohn. That's The Tech, J-A-W-N. So y'all, until we meet again in a week's time, peace.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.